And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis. Patty Fink called at like a quarter after 12 to say that she wasn't feeling well, or texted. So I just sent her a text back and said, "You're early. Leave me alone." I was very sympathetic to her illness.
She must be feeling really bad to have texted that early.
That early, yeah. So she normally doesn't. So, Ashley, our guest today is Ashley Lind, CEO of Promise House. Ashley, we call Patty the late Patty Fink because she always is. So for her to have contacted us that early, in 16 years, it doesn't make sense.
No.
Okay. So, Patty, we know you're not feeling well because you contacted us early. So
get better.
Yeah, get better and get laid again. Our guest today is Ashley Lind. She's the CEO of Promise House. Promise House, we always say, oh, this is one of our favorite organizations, right? Promise House really is.
It really is.
I volunteered there back in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
I love Promise House. Promise House takes care of homeless teens, basically. And it's a good thing when I volunteered. I generally volunteered at times where there were no kids there because the fact that these kids are homeless makes me furious. And I think, Ashley, you got that impression as we were talking a couple of times.
Definitely. You're passionate.
I am. Okay, so teen homelessness is different than adult homelessness. You know, with adult homelessness, people lose a job and they're homeless. There are mental health issues and they're homeless. It's things like that. They're not homeless because they lost a job at the age of 14. Why are they homeless?
No, I would say that approximately 50% of the children that reside at Promise House are there because there's been an episode of family discord or violence in the home, mm-hmm. and then approximately 50% of the kids are on the street. About 1,200 kids are on the street every night unaccompanied here in our own community.
Now, for those of us who are parents...
I didn't even say... That's horrible.
It is horrible. Again, for those of us who are parents, just the thought of your child, especially an underage kid, not being at home with you on your same roof at night, this is just horrifying. How is this even possibly legally? You meaning, you know... I know you're not an attorney, but why not did the parents get in trouble for, hey, you're not taking responsibility of your child?
Well, so when a child presents themselves for services, emergency services at Promise House for residential care, we have approximately 72 hours to contact that guardian.
Gotcha.
Once we've contacted that guardian, we request that they sign the child in and participate in family reunification services and counseling and crisis intervention. Our goal is to reunify and to help them to remain stable in their home for as long as possible. Now, if the parent determines that that's not something that they choose to do, then it does become a child protective services issue and goes through the court system.
Gotcha.
How many of the parents would you say that, yeah, we've been having these problems and we'd love to participate, thank you for calling, and how many of the parents say, your problem?
You know, roughly, I would say that of the parents that we contact, about 50% of them are in the situation in which they do have a parent who would be eligible for services. And of those, I would say, without reviewing the statistics, I would say about half.
About half, okay. And
so
obviously,
25% of our total population mm-hmm. would participate in reunification services, and typically those that do participate are successful.
Huh. Oh, good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. About 99% of them.
What are the reasons that those kids are there generally? A whole variety, but
typically the kids that reside at our facility are there due to an episode of child abuse, family violence. The parent has made a decision that they are disapproving of the child's lifestyle choices. That could be LGBT, that could be early pregnancy, that could be substance use. not following the family rules. And so either the parent has asked the child to leave or the child has decided to stay on the street or try to find friends to stay with.
Now, when you say there's been abuse in the home, that kind of behavior usually doesn't go away. It's repeated. How safe is it to reunify that family?
That's one of the things that we do as soon as the child arrives in evaluating their intervention services. We look at how safe is this scenario? Does there need to be a child abuse report made? If we have any suspicion that the child is not safe at all, we would include Child Protective Services to do a thorough investigation and evaluate whether that is a safe scenario.
So how long are those kids with you generally?
It varies. Those
sure.
kids that come into the emergency youth shelter, we say, you know, let's look at an initial 30 days in which we can stabilize their crisis, we can evaluate what services they need, and then they can be better integrated into the full spectrum. The kids that are involved in Child Protective Services and working with an attorney or a judge for placement purposes are typically there about 90 days. And then those children who participate in our transitional living services can reside there for 2 years or longer.
So Child Protective Services potentially get some of those children and puts them in foster care. You all are not foster care.
We are not foster care. Yes. However, we do serve as a placement for young women who are pregnant and parenting from the age of 14 to 21. And so if they are in Child Protective Services, they can be placed with us for up to 2 years.
Okay. So when you say stabilize the situation for pregnant teens, it would be about 9 months till they can stabilize that situation.
Well, it depends on at what point they arrive.
Yeah, because they could
show that's true.
They could show up in 8 months into it.
Well, and generally it would be later in the pregnancy, I would think, because till the parent found out about it, because the kid is going to hide it as long as they can.
Oftentimes the kids do try to hide it, and teens do an amazing job of managing through that level of crisis and hiding that type of secret just because they're ashamed, they're afraid, they don't know what's going to happen. And so by the time that they arrive at Promise House, we really work to help them to maintain an emotional, stable existence and get in there some counselors and some resources for them.
And for those pregnant teens, you don't have to have an exact, but kind of give us an idea, how many of those babies that are born to pregnant teenage mothers, do they actually keep or do they turn over to foster care for adoption?
Well, of the young women who reside at Wesleyan, our home for pregnant and parenting girls, the ones that end up staying for about 2 years typically keep their children, and they learn parenting skills, they learn nutrition management, they learn how to manage a household, how to finish school or get a job, find daycare resources. It's a big wraparound family at Wesleyan.
Good,
it's
good.
A great environment.
And do some of those, I guess, the parents, which will actually be grandparents, do some of them actually, you know, through your counseling, get back and get involved?
Typically, the women at Wesleyan end up becoming independent functioning parents of their own. Often they don't have a lot of other family resources. However, they do become incredibly successful. Many of the staff members at Wesleyan have been there about 20 years.
Wow.
And so it's a really kind of loving environment, which there's baby rocking and teenage crying on your shoulder. And when they move out, they come back and visit, and it becomes a family environment for
them
long term.
Okay, so we were talking a little bit before the show about why parents would throw out a teenager who's pregnant. There's embarrassment. I'm not sure what they're so embarrassed about, but they're embarrassed. Because we, you know, it's the same people who were saying, oh, we have to protect life, and then
right.
they're embarrassed about it.
Right.
I don't get that. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. And where were the parents at the time the kid got pregnant? I'm not blaming the parents for the kid getting pregnant, but
it's just one of those things.
Okay,
that
so your answer floored me. It was not at all what I was expecting. Who were these kids in so many cases?
There's a myriad of issues associated with teen pregnancy. Some of the young girls come to us as a result of a connection with a boyfriend, might be an older boyfriend. Others are in a scenario in which it is someone in their family unit who has impregnated them. So that could be a stepbrother or a stepfather, mom's boyfriend. And in those scenarios, Child Protective Services is involved, and they come to stay at Wesleyan as a result of the family abuse.
And so the mother with the stepfather stay together, and they throw out the daughter who her husband or her boyfriend got pregnant.
You know, some of the teens are faced with difficulties in their connection with their parent. Oftentimes they are blamed for having relations with the mom's boyfriend. Of course, that's not a healthy home environment. And
I'm glad the kids are
really
with you.
Confusing.
No, don't
right?
don't get this wrong. I am so glad right. these kids are with you and not in their families. But that's amazing that the mother would side with the boyfriend rather than with her daughter.
Right, you know, and I think that as a teenager, it can be incredibly confusing to try and work through all of those issues. Mm-hmm. Here you have an older person who has kind of groomed a young woman, and you have a teenager who really needs the support of an entire family unit, which fortunately at Promise House we're able to recreate a healthy environment so that they can begin to normalize and to understand that situation is not the norm and it's not something that they should blame themselves for.
They shouldn't blame them. Why aren't the step-parent or whatever, why aren't they arrested for rape?
Well, Child Protective Services is involved, and typically criminal proceedings
good.
Follow.
Good, good. You know, and I've been there a number of times, the Promise House, and, Lauren, you owe yourself a visit to this place.
I need to.
It is such a loving environment. I've seen kids come back to talk to one of the staff members because that's their family.
Yeah.
And it's sad that that's their family, but it's not because these are wonderful people.
Yeah.
I mean, these are people who it's good that that's these kids' family.
Well, how long has Promise House been around?
So we've been around about 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are at the point where we're really starting to recognize how valuable we are in the community and to really plan out how we can be responsive to the changing needs as our culture changes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's never status quo, and so we work really hard to stay on the ball and meet the needs of the kids as the climate changes in the environment.
Okay, so let's bring this around since we are a gay and lesbian show. What percent of your kids are LGBT?
Well, so in the general population of homeless kids, you're looking at 20 to 40% who are on the streets. So when we looked at our statistics representing that population, we found that there was about 10 to 12%. That led us to believe that either our kids are not comfortable in self-identifying upon entry, or our services were not conducive to their immediate need. So we've implemented some new and exciting opportunities for
them. This is neat. tell us what you're doing. Okay. And we need to take a break in about 2 minutes, but okay. We'll talk about it more after the break.
So we recently received a grant that will allow for us to set up a group home type setting that is specifically geared to the LGBT population. The kids can reside there for up to 2 years and receive specialized services specifically catered to that population.
What age is that
house
going to be?
That home will be for 18 to 21.
Okay.
Awesome.
So, what about younger kids who identify as LGBT?
Younger kids are eligible to come into the emergency youth shelter, and we will work with them as long as necessary to stabilize their circumstances and to make sure that they have accommodations that are appropriate for them.
And did you choose 18 to 21 because that's where you're finding LGBT kids are having specific problems that really are about being gay and lesbian, whereas maybe 15, yeah, they're gay, they're out there, they're, you know, but their real problem is their parents threw them out.
Right. So we chose that age because we know that that's the point at which we can intervene in a way that allows them to be independent, self-sufficient adults.
Yeah.
So we can help them identify an apartment of their own. We can help them with their community resources and employment and work through any kind of issue that they're being confronted with that is a prejudice or that is troubling them in any particular way. We know that we can advocate for them and make sure that their rights are well adhered to.
Mm-hmm. Good. We need to take a break. Let me read, Josh, I'm going to read once per hour, at least. KNON is having a benefit sale at Top 10 Records this Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. So it's going on right now, and it goes through 6 p.m. tonight. Top 10 Records has cleared out the last of the owner's garage full of CDs, LPs, 45s, posters, cassettes, and other music memorabilia. All types of music will be available. CDs are only $3 each, LPs from $5 each, 45s are only $3, and cassettes are only 50 cents. Where do you find a cassette? Oh, no, I'm supposed to just read. I'm not supposed to comment. KNON DJs are going to be working at the sale, so that's a fun reason to go by. Mm-hmm. Top 10 Records is located at 338 West Jefferson Boulevard, two blocks from Promise House, three blocks from Promise House, at Bishop Street in Oak Cliff. The sale hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you want to meet some crazy KNON DJs, I'd go by, and where else are you going to find 45s? For people who don't know what those are, you're not going to be able to play them. We'll be back right after this.
This is Rollins Galloway, and I'm listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3, and darn glad to be doing it.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis. Patty Fink will be back with us next week, and is your mic, look, Laurent.
Now I can hear you.
That look that he can't hear over his microphone. Our guest today is Ashley Lynn. She's the CEO of Promise House. Promise House was a Black Tie Dinner beneficiary this year because that's what an integral part of the LGBT community Promise House has become. It's been around for 30 years, has served gay kids for 30 years, but you're just doing some new programs that really are recognizing that. You don't know when this new house that will cater to 18 to 21-year-old LGBT kids is going to open exactly.
It will open any day. Okay. Yes. We're just about ready to start taking individuals into our home. In the meantime, obviously, they are eligible to come into our shelter and to our street outreach program and our other services. However, they can move from that into our new transitional living home as soon as it's prepared. We're very excited to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It really is. It's exciting. Well, it's not so exciting. It's sad that there's a need for it, but it is exciting that we're going to have this now because I don't know of many cities who have anything quite comparable to it.
Right. It's called a demonstration project through our grant resource. And the reason is because there are very few of these programs that specifically cater to these needs. Of course, there are some in California, which we have visited to make sure that we're on the cutting edge and that we have programs and services that are really conducive to serving the youth in a particularly focused way. There's not a whole lot of them available.
I'm sure, like, our governor and our lieutenant governor are really behind this. What have they commented on this program?
Well, Promise House does participate in the Mayor's Task Force, and they are very much behind this. There's an entire task force dedicated to really identifying how best to serve this population. And we have two representatives that serve on that committee. And fortunately, we are involved in shaping what happens next. We feel very fortunate to be involved in that process. And so it goes on up the chain.
This is going to be a successful program because Promise House only does good things.
Yeah.
And really, when I said at the beginning of the show, no, really, really, this is one of my favorite organizations. It really, really is and has been for 30 years. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's probably the biggest time of the year is coming up for kids, and that's Christmas.
Yes.
Some of the kids are doing really well there, but again, they're not at their homes with a tree and so forth. Is there anything that we can do, or do you all have anything already in works where the kids get gifts?
Well, yeah. So we have several things. Every year, we have an opportunity to have the children become adopted, so that is through Christmas gift giving, so that they can receive the items that they are wishing for. We also have large groups come in and have festivities and parties and Christmas tree decorating and cookie making, and so we try to make it as festive and happy a time as possible, and we are very fortunate to have a large volunteer group population that comes in and just pours in, and we can always use more.
We
would love to see all of the kids have the Christmas gifts that they're wishing for.
Oh, good, good. So they're not going presentless.
They are not going presentless.
Good.
Though, I at this juncture, I think that we still do have some kids that need to have their wish list fulfilled.
Need to get those to me. We'll take care of it.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to hear that.
We'll report that in Dallas Voice. We'll get it out there.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
And Josh, who's president of Congregation Beth El Bana, he just said, Beth El Bana needs to be involved in this. So
great.
Yes, we're
going
to get it done.
Is there like a website just in general that people can always donate to?
Absolutely. If you go to www.promisehouse.org, you'll see ways that you can become involved. Either as a volunteer, you can come out with your business group and you can have an Italian dinner, or a lot of times people think that the holidays are covered in terms of the dinner. However, oftentimes that's not the case, and so we're left really trying to figure out, where should we get the turkeys, and let's make sure we get all of that cooked and prepared for the kids. And it's a nice time to come in as a big business group or a volunteer group and to host a dinner for the kids and to make it like home.
Right.
I want to go back to the LGBT house. It's not going to be in the same block with the other buildings, but it's nearby.
It is nearby, and it's in Oak Cliff.
And so it'll be real convenient. I know that whatever programs you have planned now, you're going to find that the needs are whatever, because who knows who the kids are going to even be who are going to be there. What are some of the programs, though, that you're planning right now to get it started?
Specifically for the LGBT?
Yeah, yeah. Because when I say the programs, I'm not talking about, well, they're going to be safe, they're going to have a place to sleep, they're going to go to school if they're still in high school, because at 18 some of them might be. I'm sure you're going to encourage them to go on to college. But what are some of the, you know, counseling programs? What's some of the stuff that you have planned?
So we have made a distinct effort to staff that particular house with individuals who have a thorough understanding of the issue and the difficulties that arise in coping with those types of gender identity concerns. We also will have counselors available to all of them, particularly not just for weekly counseling, but for crisis intervention.
Outside of Promise House, you would call those parents.
Correct.
And I'm serious.
Correct. Yes.
Kids need somebody to go to all the time.
Yes. And hopefully these will be mentors that they can really identify with, who have kind of walked that walk and been there and done that. So they really are a step beyond a parent. They're well-informed. They're educated on the topic. They know the resources available. And so it's
no offense,
a parent
Lauren.
Plus a professional. Right? all in one.
Right. You know, and I'm sure as the house gets going, you're going to find certain needs, and you'll do what you can to fill those needs. You know, certain programming, and some programs will work, some won't work. I mean, that's just the way it is with something that's this cutting edge.
Right. You know, however, I do think that we have some specific plans that we're about to unfold. One of our staff members who is heading that program up, like I said, went out to California to really identify what programs we want to implement here in Dallas. And he came back with a slew of amazing ideas that he's working on right now to kind of solidify as we open the house.
What types of things? Now, without getting real specific.
Sure. Yeah. You know, he's connecting with, one of the things that he's interested in doing is, one, a podcast, and two, connecting with specific medical resources that are available to the kids that will help them to identify any kinds of medical issues that they might be coping with. One of them is a research oriented program that he is very excited in learning more about. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we will be able to gain some information about that and make a decision about whether that's best for them and give them the resources, really let them make their own decisions in terms of what it is that they would like to participate in, as long as we have all the cutting-edge resources in the community and within our home for them to choose from, then they will sort of make their own program specific to their own needs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Homelessness has been in the news a lot, more than usual in the past couple of years. I think it's much more of it's a worse problem than what people realize. You know, not just for teens, but just in general in our major metropolitan areas. I don't know how bad it is in Dallas compared to, like, maybe a bigger city like L.A. or New York, but have you all ever had been so full where you had to turn a kid away?
Unfortunately, yes.
And what happens when that happens?
Well, we work to coordinate with other organizations that are in other cities. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's not the best case scenario because their support group is typically here, and the resources that they will need long term are here. We last year lost our funding for our older teen emergency shelter for 18 and up. So now we only have two beds for that group in an emergency
shelter. But it can't
scenario.
Be more than two kids who are homeless.
We turned away over 150 Ooh. Kids for that particular
oh,
program
wow.
last year.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ouch.
Yes. So we're working to
so
get that funding
So what happened to those
back.
Kids?
We work to network with other organizations, sometimes as far as Houston, and really that's not the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
We're diligently working to get that funding back so that we can better serve that population.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the kids we were able to move straight into our transitional living services instead of, you know, having that interim step of emergency care. They went right into transitional living, into a two-year program, and so that's great.
Okay, so let's explain what some of these programs are.
Sure.
Because we're talking about them, and I know what they are, but because, you know, I've been there, and I'm friendly with several people who work there, but what are all these terms? So you have your emergency shelter.
Yes. So we have an emergency shelter that is primarily geared for children between the ages of 0 to 18, and those kids are there on a temporary basis until they can be placed in a long-term placement, sometimes foster care and sometimes reunification with family. We also have Wesley M, which we've talked about.
And how long is that one usually?
Typically, the kids stay there about 90 days.
Okay.
However, they can receive extensions if they need, and many of them do receive extensions.
Because I would think getting into foster care, you have 6 months to get some plan going, and then the next 6 months you have to start. So it can be a year that a kid is
Typically in the emergency youth shelter, the court system is involved, and so they're working diligently to identify a resource. I would say that at the maximum, the kids are there in the emergency services for, you know, 4 months.
Okay.
But that would be the longer scenario.
And while these kids are there, because they're up to 18 years old.
Up to 18.
Okay. Are they going to school?
We have an on-site school, and it is through DISD. So DISD teachers come, and they have their classroom right there on site, so the kids don't have to leave the premises and expose themselves to any risks that they have in the community, whether it's someone, whether it's a trafficking person, whether it's an abuser, whether it's just that they've been on the street and they don't want to be enticed by their old group. They can stay right there. The grades are rolled right into DISD, and they're extremely small classrooms, so they have one-on-one care. A lot of the kids have not been in school and are severely behind.
Or have been from school to school to school.
Correct. Correct. And so this is an opportunity for them to really get up to par with their academics. And so that is one indicator of success in the long term, if we can really stabilize them and get them back to the point where they feel like they can complete school. And
so they have kids getting A's in school all of a sudden. It's not the kid, it's the parents.
So, yeah, I was just going to ask. So you worked, or some of these kids actually can graduate or get their GED?
Either or, yes.
Well, since it's an actual DISD school, they can get a regular high school diploma if they're continuing through, if they're at the end of this program.
Correct.
Or that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
And so those children that are in the longer-term programs, they can pursue a GED, or they can go to a place like Texas Can Academy and pursue either one, or they can go to their school of origin or a nearby school. We want to connect the longer-term program kids with the community resources.
There's one problem with that, though. If they're from, say, some godforsaken city, Laurent, like Garland. Lauren lives in Garland. They have to go back to their Garland school or back to the Garland district.
They do not have to go back to that school. The McKinney-Vento Act says that they have the right to go back there if they choose to. However, because they're technically residing at Promise House, they are also eligible to go to school on-site or to the nearest school in our community.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you have that emergency shelter. Then you have transitional. What is transitional?
So transitional living is for our older kids, 18 to 24, and those services are geared to helping the kids become self-sufficient and independent, capable, functioning adults. In those programs, they can reside there up to 2 years, and then they can move into the final phase, which is rapid rehousing. They would move into their own apartment in the community. They'd select their own apartment.
Okay, now this program I love because we think of transitional housing. You have 2 years. You have to learn the stuff. Then you're out of here. It's not true. They're in their own apartment, but...
Yes, so for 6 months, we help them. Over the course of the transitional living program, they've saved some money. And so once they get into rapid rehousing, we help them financially. We continue case management and counseling.
When she says they help them financially, she's just brushing over that. What's the hardest thing when you're 18 years old about getting your own apartment?
Money.
The down payment. The deposit, which is an extra month's rent, who thinks of that, those things, especially when you're 18?
Well, not only just that, how to actually even do it. They don't teach you that stuff in school.
Right. Getting your utilities turned on.
Exactly.
All that stuff.
How to balance a checkbook.
Where would you go? You go to mom and dad. Mm-hmm. These kids go to mom and dad. Promise House helps them pay for those things.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because they're expected to be able to, they're expected to live somewhere they can afford. Promise House has some people there who go out with them to look at apartments. You're 18 years old or 16 years old. You don't know what to look for in an apartment.
Exactly. That's great.
So somebody goes out with them, helps them with those extra payments, and makes sure that they're ready to be able to pay for the apartment.
Yes. And so that goes on for 6 months. And then they gradually take on the expenses on their own. By the end of the 6 months, they're independent. Of course, we're still involved, so if they run into
anything,
we can help.
They get to take some furniture with them even to help
furnish
the apartment.
Yes.
I mean, this is not...
There is to be a Promise House for all kids.
This is not an agency that's some sterile agency. This is home for these kids. We're talking about Promise House. Ashley Lind is our guest. She's the CEO of Promise House, which is down in Oak Cliff. Promise House, if you don't know about it, it was a Black Tie Dinner beneficiary this year because they're helping so many LGBT kids. We'll continue talking about Promise House right after this. And you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Nothing's working over there today, is it? No, that's good. This is KNON. Our guest today is Ashley Lind. She's CEO of Promise House. I'm Dave Taffet here with LaRon Landis. Patty Fink is running extremely late today. She'll be in next week. And we're just talking about some of the programs at Promise House. But first I want to ask... Personally, LaRon is thinking of throwing Gabrielle out of the house. She never graduated from her terrible twos. She's going to be eight this year. How far in advance does he need to book a reservation?
Can parents do that?
Yes, parents can self-refer, and it's actually encouraged. If a family is having that amount of discord and they're really struggling with their child and feel like having them stay at their home is not the best alternative, then they can self-refer and have the child come in for a 30-day period in which we're working on reunification and stabilizing the family unit.
Now, Dave is joking, of course.
I'm not.
But to my surprise, you know, what you're referring to, I'm assuming, is mostly teens. When a parent calls and says, hey, we need help. But to my surprise, I found out that someone around my daughter's age, which is almost eight, you do have kids come in that young.
Absolutely. For unaccompanied youth who reside at Promise House, they start at 5 years old, and in the emergency youth shelter go up to 18, and then in the transitional go to 24. So, yeah, we do have a number of little bitty kids running around, unfortunately, who have no other resource in the world, and so we become their temporary family.
Mm-hmm. See, I was before the show, I was talking to Ashley about how I take my hat off to you and all the other case managers and anyone who does this type of work. I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I would be just a basket case every day, I think. So thank you. Thank you all very much for the great work you're doing.
Well, thank you. You know, I have to say that we're very fortunate to be able to be involved with these kids because we are on that side of the system in which we see the success. We see how beautiful their lives can turn out. And so a lot of times these kids have been completely dismissed as, you know, they're troubled and they're not going to be successful. And, you know, I get to see the success every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say the majority are successful. And that's not gut-wrenching at all. It's amazing. Yeah. It's part of a wonderful miracle to see and be a part of every day.
You know, one time when I was there, I met a kid who had been there, left the program, and came back. So they don't give up on kids either, but if they're not fitting in, they're also, they can be asked to leave, can't they?
They can be asked to leave. We want to create a safe environment for everyone there. And so if the kids are unable to practice safe boundaries, if they're unable to manage their anger in a way that is conducive and safe, or if they have psychiatric issues that require higher level of care, then we're going to work with them to make sure that they have their needs fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. And I forgot the circumstances in this one, and I wouldn't say them on the air anyway because it's somebody who I guess is still there. But just things weren't working out, and he'd been on the streets before, and he went back to the streets, but then decided, I guess, after a while, like a cold winter, that it wasn't so bad to follow some of these rules. Maybe you did know what you were talking about.
Right. You know, I mean, I do think that we empower the kids to make their own decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's important that they really want to work the program. You know, you can give them all the resources that are available to them. And if they're not interested in pursuing it, then it creates a real struggle. All the kids that are at Promise House are there because they want to. It's mm-hmm. not a locked facility. They're there of their own mm-hmm. accord.
Right. You were talking about education, you know, that they can, if they stick with the program, they can actually either get a GED or graduate with a diploma. Do some of these kids actually go on to college?
Absolutely. I would say that of those kids who participate in our transitional living services, we have a scholarship program that helps them to pay for books and college entry fees and all of those things. And I would say out of those kids, about 75% go on to college, to career success.
That's wonderful.
It's amazing. And in fact, each year we have someone who has fulfilled the program requirements and moved on into adulthood participate on our board to help represent the client issues and make sure that all their needs are being reflected mm-hmm. in our services.
Wow.
And so, of course, they're amazing to have on our board mm-hmm. and just exemplify their success.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure some things that you just think are the most obvious thing, or that they think is, never occurred to you because...
Yeah, they have great, great ideas,
yeah.
And we make sure to, you know, our board is very engaged, and so they participate in dialogue during each one of our board meetings regarding topics that come up regarding our mission and those mm-hmm. kinds of things, and having the client representative on the board, oh, my gosh, they have a whole nother perspective. It's not this corporate. It's not the
right.
finance. It's the real touchy-feely, hey, how about?
These are real kids.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, and you said, amazingly, 75% go on to college. It's not amazing. It's that when kids are given the opportunity and kids are given the education, these aren't dumb kids.
No.
These are kids that, for whatever reason, have been thrown out of their houses or can't stay in their house, had to leave because of violence or other things. It doesn't make them a dumb kid. It makes them a kid in a horrible situation that just needs to be given a good situation.
And it helps these kids recognize that they're incredibly resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
They have what it takes to persevere
mm-hmm.
and to get through whatever it is they want to do.
That is the other part of it, that they've been through things that most kids haven't, that just Yeah, which is one of the reasons he's kicking Gabrielle out of the house. He wants to make sure she gets every opportunity. There are a couple of other programs that you have that connect some of the clients to what they need to do to go on.
Sure. Within our services, you know, you have the emergency shelter, you have Wesley Inn, that's for pregnant and parenting teens, then you have transitional living and rapid rehousing, the LGBT program that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And within those services, we have crisis intervention. The kids that are in the emergency youth shelter are required to participate in counseling, both family, group, individual, art therapy, anger management, and family therapy for those who can. The other kids in transitional living participate in parenting, in anger management, and in weekly counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have all of the services necessary for independent living skills. We have someone who comes and teaches them to cook. We have budget management. We have, resume building and how to dress for success. We also have some cultural things so that they can have a wide array of exposure to different types of people and experiences, and to help teach tolerance and
with awesome. The last election, that's gone. You don't have to worry about that anymore. You said one of the things that you teach is anger management. Are radio hosts invited to come to these? Because every time I talk about Promise House, I get angry. Not angry at your services at all, but angry at the need for them.
Yeah.
And it seems as though they've gotten worse and worse.
You know, I would say that it's an issue that is shrouded by secrecy. And mm-hmm. so because these kids are on the street and so vulnerable, they try to stay hidden. And so it's only been recently that, as you mentioned, that there has been more attention to the issue of homelessness. And so I don't know that the numbers have increased per se. I think the acknowledgement that there is an issue.
Back when I volunteered at Promise House, there were like 10 or 12 kids there. It was just that one building. And what I did, I'm not sure if I even said this at the beginning of the show, what I did generally was babysit the house when the kids weren't there. Because with 10 kids, they found families for each of these 10 kids to go to on Christmas and on New Year's and I think the 4th of July weekend. So holiday weekends, I would sleep there overnight because the way kids showed up was they'd come to the door, they'd knock on the door, and, "Hi, I'm homeless, can you help me?" And I'd have a number of a staff person to call who could intervene, and in the meantime, just sat the kid down, "Do you need anything to eat?" And the refrigerator was stocked. But usually there was nobody who came on Christmas Day or Christmas night. That was 10 kids. Now you have how many kids?
We serve about 500 kids residentially every year. We have
that number makes me so angry. Number of kids makes me. Where were those kids going 30 years ago when you could accommodate 10?
You know, I think that they were living in abandoned houses. They were, you know, I had one kid tell me that, you know, in the movie theater, how there's a curtain right below the picture screen.
Mm-hmm.
They found that to be the warmest and safest place. No one would know they were there. And so they'd sleep right between the curtain and the wall, and no one knew they were there.
Wow.
And so it's a really hidden issue. They are very resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
And I
admire
were.
These kids.
They're strong.
God, they're strong,
yes.
And resourceful.
Yes.
Well, Ron couldn't do it.
Wow.
No, I'm serious. If you were put in that position,
I mean,
can you even imagine?
I can't imagine.
You'd do it because you had to.
Yeah, you do it because you had to.
But I can't imagine.
I can't imagine knowing that my kid is out there, especially a little five-year-old. That's not going to leave my mind. I'm sorry. I can't imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how bad things were.
Right. Well, you know, I think that some of the kids are coming from dysfunctional home scenarios in which the love and the support that you offer in your family unit aren't available to these kids. And so they actually find that being on the street is a safer, more comfortable scenario for them, even at that very young age. And oftentimes when they're that young, it's a whole sibling unit, sometimes up to 4 and 5 kids who stick together. And that's the beauty of Promise House. We don't separate sibling units.
Oh, that's great.
Right? And we're also one of the only places that will take a mother and her baby. A lot of times those two are separated because there's not resources for both. At
what do they do with the baby?
The baby oftentimes goes into foster care.
When the mother's willing and able to take care of it?
Right, right. So Promise House is one of the only places that does accommodate both.
Well, you need
together.
To build another Wesley Inn so that you can.
Yes, it's one of
you know. Every time I talk about Promise House and talk about it with anybody from Promise House, I get angrier and angrier. Not at them, but at some of this stuff that you know. Who even knew some of these things?
Well, you know, I feel really blessed to be a part of what happens there. And so, you know, channeling some of that frustration about, you know, the societal state of affairs, I think this has been the way it is and it continues to be the way that it is. And, you know, to channel some of that energy into making this work so that they can be successful, self-sufficient adults, so we don't have this for their kids, right?
Right, right.
So take that anger and send it our way.
Well, and that's the thing, because especially domestic violence is passed down generation to generation.
It is.
Because if that's what you learn, that's what you do. And when you said those anger management classes, that was something I hadn't even thought about, but it was so obvious to me, as you were saying it, that yes, you have to do that because a kid who's on the street has to be angry in one sense or another.
And so, you know, I think beneath it all, they're afraid and they're hurt. Mm-hmm. And so anger tends to be the way that they present so that they can be perceived as strong and invincible and so that no one can hurt them. Mm. But when it boils down to it, they're just scared little kids.
Yeah. Sure.
And that's what the anger management is about. It's really getting in touch with
that's
the underlying feelings.
That's why Ron's so upset, because he has an 8-year-old and absolutely cannot imagine her on the street.
Oh, God, no. I mean... I can't.
I mean, it's just not imaginable.
It really is.
It's just not imaginable. Well, we're out of time. Ashley, I want to thank you for being
here.
Thank
you so much. And one more time, real quick, what's your website again?
www.promisehouse.org. And you can log on and you can see how you can volunteer, you can donate. We also have a golf tournament coming up in the spring. If you'd love to participate in that, we'd welcome you. So check us out and come and volunteer.
Because the kids at Promise House, it's not enough that they have food, shelter, go to college. They have to learn to play golf, too. No, that's not what it is. It's a fundraiser.
So,
thank you for being
thank
here.
Thank you very much.
Next week, our guests are will be talking about the Affordable Care Act and how to get registered for it. For 3 weeks.
I was going to say, what's going to be the point?
We'll see. They actually feel like when you register this year, your insurance will be good through the year.
Okay.
We'll see.
We'll see.
For all of us here at Lambda Weekly, have a good week, and we'll see you next week.